Faith Biscuits. I'm your host, Don Shrum. This episode is called Mark Chapter 2, the second part of my conversation with a good friend and roommate from 40 years ago. Mark Chapter 1 features his upbringing in rural Washington State, some stories of our time together at Whitworth College in Spokane, and this. If you don't have a friend who can end your career with a phone call, you don't really have a friend, and I'm only ever thinking of you. This episode investigates his conversion after 50-some-odd years to Judaism. Performance art, that was your thing.
Well, it was, because remember the year that you and I hosted the Halloween... The haunted house.
Well, sure. I still have a scar on my. I still have a scar on my hand. If I can find it, it's a cut here. You can't really see it. It's from the machete.
Well, I know there was a machete involved.
There was a machete involved, and we were chopping up a pumpkin or something.
Right.
Remember, we had chains, and either you were Dr. Jekyll, or I was Hyde, or I was the monster. We had our shirts off, and somewhere in this, because we're exchanging, I accidentally cut my finger, and maybe it's this finger.
Oh my goodness.
I can't really see it now. See, things do heal after 50 years, 40 years. Maybe right there on my thumb. There's blood. And because you touched me, now you've got blood on you. There's blood, and it's kind of running down my fingers. But the great moment is, rather than be concerned, you grab my hand. You grab my hand and thrust it in the face of these poor young women and men who are in, say, look at this. This is, you start talking about sacrifice or something for art, and you're taking my blood off my thumb, and you're smearing it on your face. And these people are looking like, where are you?
The Macmillan Hall Haunted House was an annual extravaganza. For a few years, I was privileged enough to make the announcement at dinner. I'd stand up on a chair and holler to get everyone in the dining room to pay attention. I'd remind them to bring a can of food for the Spokane Food Bank in order to get into the house for free. A chainsaw would fire up, a sound so violent and out of place inside that all heads would swerve from me to where Tom, the lumberjack, as we called him, stood in the doorway with horrible mask on. "Shrum!" he would yell, and raising the chainsaw in my direction would begin running after me. We had taken the chain off the saw, of course, and he merely wielded a smooth bar. But that is a difficult thing to register when you are trying to eat your dinner. I would scream and start running through the tables, the lumberjack after me, over chairs, over tables, knocking over milk glasses while chaos ensued all around us as students leapt to get out of our way. A couple laps of mayhem, and we would exit through the kitchen. I presume dinner carried on as normal afterward. I never really saw. We just wanted people to come to our really cool haunted house.
I remember hitting the ceiling with the machete.
Oh my God.
I think it got a little out of control.
We were a little high strung.
Great haunted house. Incredible haunted house.
Right. Well, I think we gave people their money's worth.
We all, yeah, exactly. We did charge them something. They gave contribution to the food bank or something, and we had from floor 3 to floor 2, of course, was the best thing, where they'd, on floor 3, crawl through a cardboard box, people banging on it, loud music playing, flashing light at the end. And when they stood up at the end of that chain of boxes, a big couple of guys would just shove them, just push them hard down the stairs.
Because we had mattresses.
And we had mattresses, double depth, all the way down, because to be in Macmillan Hall, the 80 guys there, everyone had to give up their mattress for Halloween. And you would line the whole stair with mattresses, the double on the floor, on the walls, even on the ceiling, because you could hit your head when you get flying down from floor 3 to floor 2.
Unfortunately, Whitworth was never sued for millions of dollars.
Incredibly, never think about that today.
Tossing people downstairs.
Oh, best haunted house ever.
As our interview starts to wind down, Mark excuses himself and then shortly returns with a collection of letters. Letters from me to him. That he's kept for 40 years.
Oh my gosh. My handwriting is nowhere near that good now. 1982?
Uh-huh.
So we'd only been graduate for a year or two. You were in Pullman getting your master's in library science. That was first after Whitworth?
Yeah. So Janet...
Because she was finishing up a year behind this.
Right. She still had a year left to go. And we went and got married that summer.
I know.
I think about that. I think you had some misgivings about this because I think, you know, you honestly, knowing me the way you did, I think that you were sort of like, we really can't let her get married to this guy.
And here you are, 30, how many years later? 35 years? How long have you been married?
I guess 81, so is it like 37 now or something?
Thank you for proving me wrong.
Well, but, I totally got that. Oh, and it did seem...
Because I knew that I wasn't ready to be married. How could you possibly be married? This is a paper I wrote in seminary in 1985 that I sent to you. Luther Barth, Liberation and Process Theologies.
Yeah.
Because I did the whole form of the paper as a letter to you. I forgot about this.
Isn't that something?
Oh, that was fun to help me make it more personal and try to, of course, explain the new things I was learning in a way as a great segue, Mark. By the way, here we are talking faith. As a way to explain it to someone I loved and who would understand it and appreciate it. And, of course, you would have gotten Barth instantly. We all were raised in that. Protestant and Luther, of course, about the fall. Ironic that writing about Lutheran here, before you had even become a Lutheran, you spent years as a Lutheran after being Presbyterian. I only came to love Luther in seminary because it was studied, and it hadn't been something I'd been taught much about.
Right, right. Yes, that what a great... Oh, man, I have to go back and...
And then liberation theology, social justice, out of the 60s, in our country anyway, before then in Central America, but in our country became very much aligned with kind of Marxism and freedom and socioeconomic concerns, and so got really castigated for being too liberal, mm-hmm. Democrat issues. But of course, in my seminary at San Francisco was what we lived and breathed. This is why the gospel mattered, because how do we get... I mean, this fall, I'm going to do a series called From Exodus to Genesis, intentionally reversed like that, because I believe that our faith story really is foundationally about liberation, how we find God freeing us. And it's only once we get a hold of that do we go back, as historically we did, to say, where did we come from? We only get to tell our Genesis story once we first experience some new life, some liberation.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, in Judaism, the Exodus, you know, what you celebrate at Passover, that's in the month of Nisan. It's it's the first month of the year. They actually have several first months, but that's a biggie.
Yes.
And that, you know, being taken out of enslavement and marched through the desert and the sea to the foot of Sinai, where you're given the Torah.
And that's what we're celebrating tonight.
Shavuot.
The synagogue that Mark has joined is celebrating Shavuot with a service tonight after sundown, and he's let me know that he has a responsibility in the service.
Oh, perfect timing. And you are preaching tonight. Are you going to call it that?
It's a teaching. Offering a teaching.
Offering a teaching. That's kind of what I do on Sundays. I try to call it preaching, but we all know it's really offering a teaching. You're talking on Daniel 3. The furnace.
Right, the fiery furnace. And that was one of my favorite stories as a kid.
Did you get to choose that, or did your rabbi assign that to you?
I got to choose it.
All right.
So it was like, you know, they wanted a number of people to offer whatever they...
Okay, share.
They wanted to share from, you know, Torah. And Torah is a very, you know, we think of that as technically the first five books.
Exactly.
But it's actually not only the five books and what's written in the Old Testament.
It's law and prophets.
It's the whole oral tradition, was supposedly given to Moses on Sinai along with the written.
Okay.
And that was, became all the stuff that the rabbis talked about for those thousands of years, which has been then codified into the Talmud, the Midrash. Right. And so there's a lot of Torah.
No, that's helpful. That's good to hear.
That's a nice part about Judaism, is that I think that within Christianity, you know, it's so Christ-focused.
Right.
That poor God gets a little bit backgrounded, a little bit. And I think, especially when you start to explore some of the the more mystical aspects sure. of Judaism is that the incredible, unknowable, unfathomable wow. aspects of this being,
right.
you know, are just so much more evident and present.
That's well put. That is an appreciation of mystery. Uh-huh.
You're listening to a new podcast called Faith Biscuits, Food for Thought for the Road. This episode is Mark chapter 2.
Back up a second here. You became very evangelical out of Whitworth College in Chicago for a while.
Yeah.
And then at first when you moved to Eugene, you were also involved in a much more conservative...
Yes. I think it has a lot to do with my extremism. I've always been an extremist.
And so you, but what were you looking for? Was it the theology per se, or was it the energy of the worship that attracted you in those situations? It's a long ways from singing hymns at First Press Walla Walla or First Press Bellevue.
Right. I know, you know, that I really have rocketed back and forth. You know, if I was in a conservative phase, then I was pretty conservative. Right. I'm in a liberal phase. Yeah. I'm
pretty liberal.
Very liberal. And now I'm in a phase where apparently I now jumped religions.
I know.
So, because pedal to the metal.
Because a year ago you sent me and your dear family and your closest friends a letter saying, basically, after seasons of searching and growth, mm-hmm. I've decided to convert to Judaism. Incredible. Do you remember, because I remember this, senior year, we're living in the first floor in our suite, in our two rooms, so that must be senior year. A flyer comes across one of our desks, and it's about Jews for Jesus. It's inviting us to an event, and I kid you not, you said this to me. Don, look at this. It's Jews for Jesus. They get all of Judaism and the richness of the tradition and the scripture, but they also have Jesus. How is that not the perfect thing? And that was 40 years ago. Incredible. Say some more about what that was like.
Yeah.
What was it like to tell your mom that you're no longer going to be a Presbyterian?
Yeah. Well, I knew. You know, as we've discussed, it sort of seems like one of the themes of this conversation, you know, looking back over time, it's like my ability to offend people almost knows no. it doesn't stop. It's like it knows no bounds. And I'm laughing, but this is actually very sad because I think I knew that the one thing
above all else
that she would want for me in my life is, you know, to know that Jesus is my Savior and where my eternal destiny is going to be.
Well put.
That's the one thing.
And that's the one last thing that you can try to take from her. Oh, God.
I mean, wow.
When in, I remember in, junior, did you actually get your ear pierced? You wore an earring for a while. What I remember is you going home with that.
And my hair was very long.
And your hair was...
I grew my... So in France, I not only picked up a very serious nicotine addiction.
Right. You grew
I grew my hair long.
And you had
and I got an earring.
Which was huge in the late 70s. I think what you told me was your mom took one look at you and burst into tears and fled the room.
Yeah. And my dad is like, you can't come in.
You can't be here.
Be here like this.
Be sure to check out Mark chapter 3, the last episode about Mark, when you hear this.
Part of your converting to Judaism was almost an offering to set an example for your core family here, including your beloved daughters, and especially Sammy, that guess what? Our love is so big, it could even handle changing religions.
Faith Biscuits is pursuing deeper conversations in bite-sized pieces at a time. Don't forget to tell a friend. And thanks for listening.